repeat the very warm welcome that was extended at the beginning of the meeting. And we're very glad to see each one who has joined us. If you're able, we'd be glad to see you for the rest of this series, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and those community centre in Swan End, and then in Willowcroft, Monday through to Saturday next week. Now, I'd like to turn, please, to the book of Romans and chapter 6 for our closing message this evening. Romans chapter 6, and reading from verse 17. Romans 6, verse 17, if you have a Bible. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse 20, and when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. The end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God will be pleased to bless afresh the reading of his word this evening. Now, in our first part of our meeting this evening, we had a few words beginning with W, and I just want to summarize the message this evening with a handful of words beginning with the letter D. The letter D. Doing, dying, destiny, decision, and deliverance. The question comes, what are we doing here? What are you doing here in our gospel hall tonight? Now, you may be, whatever you may believe, whatever you may be, whatever reason you may be here tonight, we're not here to judge you. I want to make that clear. We're not here to presume anything, and we're not here to judge you. We're here to quote the Word of God, to teach the message of the gospel, present God's way of salvation, and we would like you to hear God's voice speaking to you. But we're not here to judge you. You could be an atheist here tonight. You may believe that there was nothing, there was no God, and that nothing created something, and that something evolved into everything. You may believe that. If you really do believe that, I would be very interested to understand after the meeting how it's possible for that to be true. But you may believe that, and that's entirely your prerogative and your choice, because we are creatures of free will, and we can choose what we believe. You might be an agnostic. You might not know if there's a God. You might not know that who created the universe. You might not even know whether the world needs a creator for it to be created. And that again is a puzzle to me. And you might want to explain it after the meeting. I would be very interested to know. But we're not here to judge you. You might even believe there's a God in heaven, and you might believe that the God in heaven sent his Son to be born of a virgin without trace of man's sin, without trace of Adam's sin. And you might believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was lifted up on a cross, that he bore our sin in his body on the tree. You might believe that God the Father poured out his judgment on his Son when he was made the substitute for our sin. And you might believe that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on that cross for our sin, paid the penalty, laid down his life, rose again the third day, seen of many witnesses, ascended up to heaven. But you might not have put your trust in him as your Savior. And the Bible makes it clear, if we haven't put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it makes no difference. We're no better than the atheist, no better than the agnostic, no better than the infidel, no better than anyone else at all, because before God, we're still sinners. But the question comes, you know, what are we doing in this world? I don't know if you're like me, I'm sure you are at times. You get so occupied in thought. And you can even come into a meeting like this and sit down and suddenly, so occupied in thought, you suddenly come to, as it were, and you think, what am I doing here? What am I here for? And you come to the realization of why you're here. And it dawns upon you and you recall why you came. And you could be walking down the street deep in thought and suddenly think, well, where am I? And then suddenly you realize what you're here for. You know what a tragedy it is. There are thousands of people in our world today who are so occupied with the things of this world that they don't even stop to think what they're here for. Why are they in this world? What are they doing here? They don't even know where they came from or what they're doing or even where they're going, because they're so occupied with the things around them and they never turn to the Word of God. We need to stop for a moment and ask ourselves, what are we doing here? Now, one of the things we are doing here today, the reason why we are on earth is because God made us in His own image and likeness. He made us with a purpose to seek Him, to find Him, to serve Him, and to do His will, and to be obedient for the pleasure of God. That's one reason, that's the fundamental reason why God made us. To fear God, says Ecclesiastes chapter 12. To fear God and to keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, the meaning of life itself. But one of the things we are doing here today is we're dying. Now you may think that's a strange thing to say, but we are dying. In fact, when you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God says to Adam and Eve, He says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when Adam and Eve took of that tree, they died. Instantaneously, in a moment of time, they died. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they died in the sense of spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. And when we break God's commandments, the very first commandment, we are separated from God by our sin, and sin separates. Spiritual death is separation of a man's soul from God because of sin. Physical death is separation of a man's soul from God, a separation of a man's soul from his body. That's what physical death is. It is physical separation of a body and a soul. Now, when we're born into this world, we're born in sin and shape of iniquity. We are spiritually dead to God. But the moment we are born, we are physically dying. Every single cell in our body, it reproduces and it dies. Apart from the brain cells, they don't reproduce. And when you lose a brain cell, it never replaces itself. But every single cell is reproducing and then dying, apart from brain cells. We are physically dying. And the speed of that process, as the little telomeres, as they call them, like at the ends of the shoelace, those little wraps around the end of a shoelace, as they fray and break, then the shoelace wears out. And that's what happens to our genetic material, the DNA. And it's the process of aging. And that's the speed of that process governs how long it is before our bodies degenerate sufficiently that physical death comes in. We're dying. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, an appointment with death. Every man in this world today, they may not really understand what they're doing here, but they're dying, and they're heading to an experience called death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. What a thought. What a tremendous thought. And it matters not how long we live. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. When you get to 70 or 80, it seems so short. And as you get older, it seems to go faster and faster. The poet says, life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, but Christ the cure. What are we doing here? We have a purpose. To find God, and to get right with God, and to please God. And we're in that process of dying in the meantime. And so it's urgent and important for us to get right with God in a time acceptable to Him. We have an appointment with death. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I was driving through the west side of Coventry from Tyre Hill through to Walsall Common along a main country road, and about 45 miles an hour. And as I came to a blind junction, I was going straight on the main road. I had the right of way. There was a crossroad, and there was a blind junction to my right. And as I just came up to it, a little grey, little silver for a Fiat Punto came straight out. Didn't bother stopping at the stop sign. It just came straight out, smack into the side of my car, and knocked me off onto the verge. And the car spun sideways and eventually bounced off a tree. But by God's grace, we weren't physically hurt. Just minor little ache in the neck. But so easily it could have been a different story. Had that person been half a second quicker, I would have hit him. And his two passengers on the left-hand side would have been critically injured, if not killed. If you saw the damage he'd done to my car at 15 or 20 miles an hour, and I had hit him at about 45 miles an hour, very certainly it would have been a much more serious accident. And if he'd have hit me just a fraction of a second later on the back of the car, it would have put me across into the trees on the right-hand side, and I would have hit a tree head-on at maybe 40 miles an hour. And a different story. So quickly, in a moment of time, we could be out of this world. You know, as I say, what are we doing here? Oftentimes we can be occupied with the things around us, and so preoccupied we forget even what we're here for, or what we're doing, or where we're going. And then we come back into reality and our thoughts refocus on the present. You know, I think that's going to be what it's like for thousands of souls, millions of souls. So occupied with life, so focused on the things around them. And in a moment of time, they pass through death, and they're out into a sphere they've never been in before, and they suddenly think, what am I doing here? And they are going down to the flame of hell, the waiting room of God, to await the great white throne judgment, to be cast into the lake of fire. And from that moment, they'll have no control over their circumstances, and no choice as to the pleasures of sin that are but for a season. We're dying, and we have a destiny. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, we read in verses 13 and 14 that there are only two destinies, and there are only two roads, and there are only two gates. And it tells us that the broad is the gate, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there go in thereat. It's broad because it embraces all walks of life. It embraces all religions. It embraces all beliefs that are apart from God. And it will accept and receive all upon that road that leads to destruction. And it's wide because it allows for every form of lifestyle, every single lifestyle that you can imagine that is apart from God and apart from God's word will fit that broadway, and it leads to destruction. But it says, and straight is the gate, straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leadeth unto life. A little word straight is the same word as the Straits of Dover or a straight jacket. It just means tight or narrow, because it's not open to every religion, and it's not open to every belief, and it's not open to every philosophy and concept of human thinking. It's only open to the truth of God's word. It's open to the truth of John chapter 14 verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way, not one of many. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That he is the gate to the narrow way that leads unto life itself. There is a destiny, heaven above, a heaven to gain, and a hell to shun. In fact, as we read the Gospels, we learn that the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. In fact, once he describes heaven, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, in John chapter 4 and verse number 2. But three times over in almost as many verses, he says in Mark's Gospel chapter 9 about the flame of hell and the torment of hell. About nine times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus describes hell in some way or other. Jesus Christ speaks more of hell And he spoke of heaven, for he sought to deliver men from going down to hell. There are only two destinies. There are only two roads. And there are only two gates. There is no middle path. There is no third class. And there is no intermediate destiny, no purgatory, no place like that. There's simply hell beneath, a hell to shun, and a heaven to gain. And so, you see, we come to the fourth day, the decision. And we need to make a decision, because there is a hell to shun and there is a heaven to gain. And we must individually, as we tread the broad road that leadeth to destruction, make the wise decision, the right decision, or we will find ourselves in the flame of hell. So many, the question is, what are we doing here? And so many will wake up, having been so occupied with the things of this world, in the flame of hell, and they'll wonder, what are we doing here? And they'll look back on their lives and they'll realize that they shunned the God that loved them and reached out to draw them unto him. The God that gave his son to die on the cross for them. The God that caused them to hear the gospel preached. And they will realize they were too occupied with the things of this world, taken up with the snares of sin and the snares of the devil, and they've gone down to a lost eternity. And so we need to make a decision. Back in the book of Joshua, in chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua is with the people of Israel and he's about to occupy the land, enter into Canaan land. And he challenges the people and he says to them, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. They had a choice. They could serve the Lord God of heaven, or they could serve the gods that their fathers served in the wilderness. That's our choice today. We can serve the pleasures of this world, the pleasures that our forebears have followed after, the pleasures that our fellow kinsman around us is following after, that are but for a season, or we can choose this day to serve God. When Elijah stood before the nation of Israel and they'd gone away from God in their sin in 1 Kings and chapter 18, and he challenges them. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? They have a decision to make, a choice to make, and they're faltering between two decisions and two opinions. He says, if the Lord be God, he says, follow him. But if Baal be God, if the idols of the land, of the people of the land be God, follow them. Simple. A simple choice to make. Just follow the gods of this world, the gods of leisure and pleasure, and follow the idols of this world, if they are the true God. If they are the creator of the universe, if they're the very one that made us and formed us in his image and likeness, we should follow them. But what a folly that is, and how dead were those idols of Baal. And the living God of heaven, the fire came down and consumed the sacrifices that were saturated with water. And they had an unequivocal experience of who the real and true God was. How long hold ye between two opinions? We have a decision. A decision that is simply not just life and death. It's a decision that will separate us between hell and heaven. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22, Pilate is standing. And what a momentous decision he has. He brings out to the people the Lord Jesus Christ, proved to be the Son of God with signs and wonders and mighty deeds. That humble man of Galilee, and he's standing before them, and he says to them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And the people cried, away with him, crucify him. And they made the wrong decision. What will you do with Jesus? You know, Pilate, he washed his hands. He sought to separate himself from that throng. He sought to put the responsibility upon them, but he was the judge and he is accountable for his actions. He cannot be neutral. And he cannot absolve himself from blame and responsibility, and neither can we. The question comes, what shall I do then with Jesus? Neutral, I cannot be. Someday my soul shall be asking, What will he do with me? If we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he will receive us to himself in heaven. But if we reject Jesus Christ as our Savior, he has to reject us. Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting punishment, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But there is deliverance. There is deliverance. Tonight, dear friend, our fifth D is that word deliverance, and thank God for it. And Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 tells us this, concerning those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it says that God hath delivered us. God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We have deliverance, dear soul, tonight, from the power of darkness, from the blackness of darkness forever, from the power of Satan and his forces. We have deliverance because of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption. The redemption price was paid by God's Son when he suffered on that cross for us. And when we accept him as our Savior, we come into the goodness of God's redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sin. Deliverance. How can Christ deliver us from eternal judgment, from eternal darkness? Because as Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, God spared not his son, but delivered him up for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was delivered up in our place and in our stead upon that cross, made sin for us, bore our sin in his own body on the tree, and the wrath of God fell on him, and he paid the penalty for our sin. He was delivered up for us, that by trusting in him, we are delivered from the darkness and from judgment. And 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10 says, Jesus has delivered us from the wrath to come. Tonight, dear friend, there is deliverance from the wrath to come through faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son. As Elihu says in that book of Job, God will deliver his soul from going down to the pit. There is deliverance from going down to the pit. And the moment we turn in repentance to God, put our faith in Christ, accept him as our Lord and Savior, as we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, but God be thanked. We can thank God. Thank God, why? That we that were once the servants of sin, we were in the bondage of sin, we were slaves to sin, have obeyed from the heart. Tonight, dear soul, have you obeyed God's word from your heart? Not a head knowledge. You may be an atheist, you may be an agnostic, you might even believe the Bible. You might believe it's the word of God, and you might believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. But unless you believed in your heart and obeyed in the heart, taken that step of obedience through faith in Christ, you're still a servant of sin. But if you obey, it says, if you've obeyed that doctrine, that teaching, you are delivered. It's delivered you, being then made free from sin, free from the law of sin, free from the bondage of sin, free from the power of sin, emancipated, freed from the burden of sin and its chains that are upon you, taking you down to hell. You became the servants of righteousness. What a blessed thought that is. You've entered the straight gate onto the narrow way, and you become the servant of righteousness. You can now serve God and please him as he would have you to do, that we might bring forth fruit, verse 21. What fruit had ye when in those things, when you were in the bondage of sin, those things in which you are now ashamed of, for the end of those things is death, eternal death. What fruit did you have? There was no fruits of righteousness, no blessings from the hand of God. There was no fruits. But now it says, now being made free from sin, from the snare of sin, from the chain of sin, emancipated as a slave cut loose from his chains, being freed from sin, you've become the servant of God, servants to God, bond servants, that you will serve Him, and you have fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. What a blessing that is. For the wages of sin is death. Sin always pays wages. And if we die in our sin, the wages of sin is physical death, and it's eternal death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Tonight, dear friend, the question comes, do you have that gift of God? Have you received it free from God? Paid for with such tremendous price by God's Son upon that cross for you? Have you received the gift of God, which is eternal life? Life is short and death is sure. We've been thinking about that. Life is short and death is sure. Sin the cause, but Christ the cure. Oh, what will you do with Jesus the King? Say, how will you meet Him at last? Someday your soul will be asking, what will you do with me? Shall we pray?